Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 2 Corinthians, and we're in chapters 1 and 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. But when you see God in the way and you understand His promptings from behind saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, you hear His voice in those little ways. It's a mystery. He dwells in me. He speaks to me. And 99.9% of the time, He's speaking to me through the Word of God that He has put in my heart. And He brings to my mind verses and chapters and concepts that I did not know that I even had committed to my memories. Because as the years have gone on, more bricks have been laid to more bricks. And then I begin to see Him in my day-to-day. But when in verse 14 He says, thanks be unto God which always causeth us to triumph. Another way to translate that is, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now the reason that's important is because the picture here is of a loud and audacious triumphal kind of a parade in the streets. The Romans would do this kind of a parade when they've taken down some enemies and liberated some prisoners. And those prisoners were liberated, say, from the hordes of the barbarians. They are not immediately suited up and given a mount. They are walked into the city on foot, liberated and holding up laurels of victory because their liberator liberated them. And you and I have that with Jesus. And no matter where you go, you're in that triumphal procession. And He's saying God leads us in triumph wherever we go. Because wherever we go, guess what? Jesus is. Why do I know that? Because He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always. So wherever you are, He is. And if we have any leg to stand on at all, it's because of Him. Now understand this. He says, because of our victory, Paul could have given testimony in Macedonia and said, you know what? I had a door open back there, but I felt terrible because I couldn't find Titus. And sitting maybe at a table somewhere talking to a few other Jewish people he'd just met, because Paul was so social, he's always trying to find somebody to strike up a conversation with, you could see him beginning to tell them what a mess he was. You say, what? Why would he tell them? Don't we lead with our best foot? For him, the best foot he had to put forward was, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Christ came into the world to save sinners. Listen, of whom I'm chief. He led with his mess. And thus he disarmed any kind of highfalutin kind of tag somebody might, well, you think you're better than, no. I'm just the opposite of that. Now say, listen. While we're down here in this animated dust, while we're in this bag of dirt that we walk around in, from the dust He created us, listen, one day, I'm going back into the dust. I'm going right back into it. I am going back into the dust. When that happens, then I will be fully free. Then I will get an immortal body, a glorified body. But right now, kind of just struggling down here. I'm struggling. I look at my world and it bothers me. I look at the people in our world and they trouble me because I feel so badly that I can't necessarily figure out how to put round pegs in round holes anymore because every hole is different, weird, and, you know, it's crazy and I feel so inadequate. And then I stumble upon somebody who's got an ear and I'm like, oh. And suddenly I'm in a conversation and maybe getting a chance to talk to them about Jesus. And you know what? I got nothing, but I got Jesus. You know, I'll tell you what, guys. This world is not about the successful and the opulent and the pretty. Jesus had no form nor comeliness that we should desire Him, right? He uses meekness and lowliness. He uses brokenness. He uses the comforts wherewith we ourselves have been comforted so we can comfort other people. Don't ever forget your wound. Don't ever forget your sin. Don't ever forget that you were that one time before so that you don't look down on somebody. We all, like sheep, have turned each to our own way. And now we're in His possessional. And wherever we go, we have two things we can be doing. He says, He maketh manifest, verse 14, the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. To the one we are a savor of death unto death. It says, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. What He's saying is that we have two ministries, two. Every one of us has these ministries. One is edification and one is evangelism. To the saved people, you go in there and you try to get underneath and you try to help and encourage and strengthen and bolster joy. And the other person, you go in there and you try to get under and you try to support and you try to show them Jesus can help them too. He says, those are our ministries. Everything else is details. If you've got a family that loves you and you've got kids that love you and you've got people who love you and you've got all that's awesome. The Bible says godliness has promise of this life and that which is to come. But if in your core you feel like you're in the middle of the road, you feel like you're being run over, and life is hard, I want to commend to you a passage that says He leads us in triumph all the time. Would you turn with me over to 1 John in chapter 3 for a moment? Because I want you to understand that for you and for me, as we close another year in our lives, that there's something very real about our standing in Jesus. The Bible tells us in chapter 3 and verse 18, it says, my little children, let us not love in word only, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. What He's saying is it's good to know things in the Scriptures. 1 John 3:18. It's good to know the Scriptures. Love not in word and in tongue only. Say, yeah, I love you. I love those people. I love souls and all that. Don't just love in word only. He says, but love in deed and in truth. Now, it's interesting because salvation is not through works, right? But I'll tell you what, sanctification comes through works. You begin to take a step and you fall down and Jesus picks you up and you're like, oh, okay, I'm okay. These young people, they have these games where they can respawn, right? Okay, I've gotten so far in the course of this video level. I got killed. But wait a minute, I got another guy. I can start all over again to get a run in. Listen, God does that to me every time I turn around. He responds me. If I fall down, He lifts me back up. And what it's saying in verse 18 is He says, love indeed in the truth, not because you have to, because you're not under law. All things are lawful. You don't have to. But if you do it, you're going to find Jesus. Shows up in a way He wouldn't show up otherwise. You're sitting still, He can't show up. But if you're moving, He shows up. He's talking to a people in 1 John that are believing it's all about head knowledge. They're called Gnostics. It's all about, oh, I got deeper knowledge. Knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. Me, I know so much and you don't know anything. No, no, no. He says, you want the super knowledge that's in Christ? You need to love in deed and in truth. You need to love out loud. You need to love in the course of your day to day. You need to get that going. How do I know that? Because verse 19 says, hereby know we that we are of the truth. If you're really of the truth, it's not just going to be head knowledge. You're going to be a person who the truth affects. And by this, you will know that you are of the truth. And He says, and shall assure your hearts before God. Now, I'm parsing it because I want you to see it. How do you see? How do you know? You see God in the day to day by being in the way. Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, looking for a wife for Isaac. I being in the way, the Lord led me. You don't get led when you're sitting still. You get led when you're going out. And when you go out and do something for God, whether it's under edification of somebody or evangelizing somebody, trying to share Christ with them, God will show up. He says, we can assure our hearts. This is like stirring up the gift that's within you, being strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. You can do that by getting in over your head a little bit. God shows up. Now look what He says. He says, hereby know we that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before God. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Remember what I said a minute ago? We're going to get that WD on our name. Well done. Yeah, but no, no. Shh, 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 shh. I'm Jesus. Well done. How can He do that? How can He say? Because He knows your heart. He knows your heart, even if you don't. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? God tests the heart. He knows what's in there. He knows what you wanted to do. He knows how you intended to do. He knows that you fell short. He knows you felt bad when you fell short. And after a while, He knows your little soul might have even fainted for a week, month, maybe even years. He says, listen, I've got you. When you get that and you get back up, I'm right here. We can get on with this a little bit more. Salvation is a beginning of life. And then it begins to enter into a thing called sanctification. You get a little better, a little better. But so many people don't have that depth in their spirit enough to know there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And when you know that, the Bible says you can assure your heart, you can do some things, you can love in deed and in truth because you know what kind of deeds to do and what kind of truth to bring. He says, if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. And in verse 21, it says, but beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence with God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive. See, that's another plane right there. Think about how cool that is. We now can pray prayers after God's heart and begin to say, God, I ask you to just bless this person in a way that will let them know you're real. I'm going to conclude with a personal illustration. I told some of you that the Lord kind of spoke to my heart about a couple of my neighbors to give them a video of the Star of Bethlehem. And so I did. I wrapped it up. Linda made cookies and took it to them. But I didn't know I was going to be speaking to the one who has like third stage cancer. Things are a mess in her life and couldn't keep anything down. And I had a little personal epiphany in my life. Physically, I was able to get some apple cider vinegar tablets. They always said, take that if you've got heartburn or bloating or anything like that. And I had heartburn a lot in my life, and I thought I'd try this. So I said, well, I got this. And Linda's like, oh, you don't know. She's got cancer. You know, that might be too harsh for her. It bothered me. And I'm like, oh. But I prayed, and I thought, not only did I suggest this to her, but she let me pray for her. She took the gifts. She let me pray for her. Listen, it helped her. She wasn't able to keep anything down. She's not a saved lady. She needs Jesus. And I thought, you know, my heart was, God loves her more than anybody in her world. He wants her to be saved. And even if I gave her a wrong idea at that moment, and I wouldn't just do this and come pull something out of the air. It's just something God put in my world and I gave to her. It helped her. Can you imagine? You can't eat. You're emaciated. You're down to 90 pounds. And you're thinking, man, can't eat anything. I need to eat. I need to eat. Chemo's killing me. I can't take it. I got to eat. I can't keep anything. Listen, she's going to watch that video with more interest, more intensity, and ears that might hear a little more clearly for having had that given to her, that prayer, and that answer to her being able to eat. Listen, I couldn't script it. I was wondering, but I felt that the Lord might really help her. He helped her. I'd like to say, and maybe I can give you the follow-up later, that she finally came to Jesus. Listen, guys, we need to get on God's page. Last year's in the books, sanctification was a process. Some of us fell down, some of us stayed down, some of us got up after a while. We're trying to figure it out. It's part of it. It's part of it. But what's really true is that God knows your heart. And He knew it before He saved you. And when you came to Him, He received you. He says, He that comes to me, I will in no way cast out. And ultimately, you've never shocked Him. Ever. Because He knows the end from the beginning. So keep getting up. Keep getting up. Keep getting up. And you'll find Jesus shows up every time you do to give you another step or two forward. And after a while, it will be so intuitive in your character to get back up that you won't even know what it means to stay down. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.